Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's turn now to today's indictment of a second Boston City official on extortion charges. U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz's office is charging Timothy Sullivan, the city's acting director of intergovernmental relations, with conspiracy and extortion. The indictment alleges that Sullivan colluded with Kenneth Brissett, the city's tourism director, to withhold permits from a Boston music festival until it hired union labor. Brissett was charged last month, and today's indictment adds another count to his case, all of which amounts to more bad news for Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Here's what the mayor had to say earlier today.
If these allegations are true, simply really disheartening and concerns me. I mean, I love being the mayor of the city of Boston. I hold everyone to a high standard of integrity, and we've brought in an outside counsel to look at and see these allegations and what's going on.
Timothy Sullivan made his initial appearance in federal court just this afternoon, and WBUR's Bruce Gellerman is at the Moakley Courthouse now and joins us. Hi there, Bruce.
Hi, Meghna.
So tell us what happened in court this afternoon.
Well, a little bit of drama, actually. So Mr. Sullivan came in, and this, as you said, was an initial appearance. So it was a lot pro forma. He had to answer a few questions about whether he understood the charges against him, if he understood that he had a right to an attorney and so on. And so he answered those questions. And actually, at the end of this, he actually got, he's freed under $25,000 unsecured bail bond. So he gets to go free. He has to return July 12th for another court appearance, in which time he'll have to plead guilty or not guilty.
Hmm. Now, you spoke with Sullivan's attorney today, and his attorney talked about a recent important Supreme Court case regarding governmental corruption.
Yeah, Bill Centello. He's very feisty. He spoke to reporters after today's initial appearance, and he referenced the case that the Supreme Court ruled just this week on Monday, where they vacated a conviction of the former Virginia governor, in which he was charged with allegedly corruption. And Centello really ripped into the U.S. Attorney's office.
The Supreme Court specifically said, setting up meetings of this nature are not only not criminal, but they would chill any politician's effect of doing his job. The day after that decision was rendered by the United States Supreme Court, this office indicted my client. I'm hoping that they read that decision. I'm expecting that this court will give the Supreme Court a little bit more respect than the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Yeah, and Centello actually called this a crap case. Those were his exact words.
Wow. Okay. So we're also getting a view into the kind of argument I think he's probably going to make on behalf of his client. So as for Timothy Sullivan, how did he look? Did he say anything?
He looked nervous. He was biting his lip. He was leafing through the brief. He was asked to answer some questions, as I suggested at the top. And he said, relieved. And he was let out, again, in cuffs. The cuffs were removed initially, and then they were put back on. And now he's free to go. He can go anywhere he wants in the United States, but his passport was taken.
Hmm. Now, Bruce, we sort of broadly described earlier that he's being charged with conspiracy and extortion. But can you tell me in more detail what federal prosecutors are alleging Sullivan of doing?
Well, he faces two federal counts. One is extortion and the other is conspiracy to commit extortion. Basically, what they're saying is that he used his position to in the Walsh administration to force this a union workers on a what they don't call it Boston Calling, but they call it a festival. We've since learned that it is Boston Calling, that they forced the Boston Calling to hire a bunch of union workers, which eventually they did. That's the government's allegations, and they're serious allegations. He could face $250,000 on each count and 20 years in prison on each count. So these are very serious charges. Mm.
And Timothy Sullivan has a long history with labor unions, right, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's way back. I mean, he was involved with unions back when he was 21 years old. He was the legislative and communications director for the Massachusetts AFL-CIO, which represents something like 400,000 union workers across Massachusetts. And he was a registered lobbyist for the last 4 years before joining the Walsh administration in 2014. He was a registered lobbyist for the AFL-CIO. So, yeah, you're right. He has a long history of being involved in labor unions.
Hmm. And do we – you might have mentioned this before, but just to remind us, do we know when his next court appearance is going to be, when his official arraignment is going to be?
So that's July 12th, which is also the day that Mr. Brissett has his court appearance. He had a superseding count against him. He had faced one count when he was indicted last month. He pleaded not guilty to that. He has to plead on July 12th to the second count that he now faces, which is conspiracy. And so they both have court dates on the same date. They'll not be in the same courtroom at the same time, of course.
Right. That's WBUR's Bruce Gellerman bringing us up to speed on today's initial appearance in federal court by Timothy Sullivan. He's the second Boston City official charged with extortion and conspiracy. Bruce is speaking to us from the Moakley Federal Courthouse. Thanks so very much, Bruce.
You're very welcome.
All right, well, let's turn now to a closer examination of the impact all of this is having or could have on the administration of Mayor Marty Walsh. And joining us now to talk about it from Scituate is Boston Globe columnist and associate editor Thomas Farragher. He spoke to Mayor Walsh yesterday for his column that's out in the Globe today. That column is called, "Is Mayor Walsh's Dream Job Turning into a Nightmare?" Thomas Farragher, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Magna.
Okay, so you spoke to the mayor before today's indictment was announced, but you know the mayor's facing some pretty specific challenges already. First of all, tell us what kind of impact do you think the second indictment is going to have on him?
Well, I think the alarm bells are going to ring a little louder at City Hall, and the flashing red lights are going to be a little brighter. This is not by any construction good news for Mayor Walsh. I think that, as I said in today's column, I think if I were him, I would hit the reset button, because there's been a series of stumbles and embarrassing episodes here. And looming over all of that is this growing criminal investigation out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. My conversation with the mayor yesterday was very polite. He betrayed no evidence that this was coming. I don't think he knew it was coming. He said he hoped that the criminal investigation was going to end at one indictment. Clearly, that is not going to happen. So I think this is staggering to the Walsh administration, and it's time to do something about it.
So, Tom, tell us more specifically. When you say it's time to hit the reset button, I mean, what exactly are you recommending?
Well, I mean, the mayor doesn't have to take my advice. But if I were him, I would bring in a whole new crew of people who are a little more seasoned. I think he needs an adult in the room. I think he needs to reach out in more vigorous ways to business leaders, neighborhood advocates, and broaden the view from beyond his desk. If I were him, I would do that, and I would do that today.
Well, so speaking of people he's known for a long time, today Mayor Walsh talked about the fact that he has known Timothy Sullivan for many, many years, and here's what he told reporters who asked him about the indictment earlier today.
I've known Tim for a long time. Certainly, it goes back many years, back to before the State House days. I'm bothered by this. Tim has a wife and a young baby at home, but 2-year-old, I believe, now. I feel bad for what's happening here, but certainly it's something that I don't stand for. If these allegations are true, I'm certainly not happy about them.
So, Tom, tell me, I mean, you wrote in your column as well that Mayor Walsh may be loyal to a fault. Why do you say that?
Well, when I asked him that question yesterday, we were sitting on the couch in his office, and I said, people say, Mr. Mayor, that you were loyal. And I was going to say to a fault before I get those words out of my mouth. He said, yes, I am loyal. And you hear those that clip you just played about Sullivan. It's hard not to feel feel bad for a young guy with a wife and a young kid, and that's the human side of Marty Walsh coming out there, and I think that's commendable. Who would, you know, break out the marching bands and confetti for a guy who's just been led away by FBI agents from his home in Dorchester in handcuffs this morning? I don't think anybody is doing handstands over that. On the other hand, the mayor is the chief executive officer of the city, and he has to set a tone. And I think that tone has to be, we're not going to put up with this. He said that repeatedly, and let's hope that those marching orders are being heard and being heeded. But I just think that little bit beyond the midpoint of his first term, he has an opportunity to start over here and to right the ship. The drip, drip, drip of this federal investigation has got to be wearing on him spiritually and mentally. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to open the windows at City Hall a little bit, let a new breeze blow through there. And as I said in this morning's piece in the Globe, start over.
Yeah, so let me ask you a little bit more about that, because you named some specific people that the mayor has looked upon as longtime friends and allies and advisors, such as Eugene O'Flaherty, the administration's lead attorney. I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, someone like O'Flaherty and the importance of that the mayor puts on those close advisors to him.
Well, that's a great example. When we talked about the Corporation Council, which is what the terminology is for the chief mayor, I'm sorry, the chief lawyer in the administration, is that person is Eugene O'Flaherty, who worked alongside Marty Walsh in the State House for a long time. Many people I spoke with this week point to his guidance as something that Walsh may want to take a second look at. But the mayor stopped me before I could get very far down that road, and he said, our Corporation Counsel is talented, educated, a person who's done an incredible job for the city of Boston, certainly enjoys the political system. So there was, there was no give there. Now, Eugene O'Flaherty, just to cite one example, he was the guy behind the city's litigation against the Wynn Casino in Everett. Mm-hmm. You may recall that effort, ended in with a judge dismissing the case in December, in words that were hardly something you would want to frame on your wall if you're Eugene O'Flaherty. He said the case was difficult to decipher and full of irrelevant detail and hyperbole. Now, in that case, O'Flaherty farmed it out to an outside lawyer at the tune of $1 million. But that's just one example. I mean, I think there's a case to be made, and people who like Marty Walsh, who want him to succeed, as I do, have said that there are people whose guidance and counsel he could and should take advantage of.
You know, in your conversation with the mayor, again, that happened before today's indictments were released, he rightly pointed out to you, and I think people do recall that, obviously, as you mentioned earlier, the move to General Electric's headquarters to Boston is a major win for the city and for his mayoralty. And also, he was instrumental in helping bring the potential or the impasse between Brigham and Women's Hospital and the nurses' union, ending that impasse and averting a strike. So he's had a couple major wins amongst this big tumult. And I guess that's the reality of any leader of a major American city. But Tom, I got to ask you this question. I mean, the thing that I've been sort of kicking around in my head all day is, Tom Menino was in City Hall for 20 years. And no matter what you want to say about Mayor Menino, never once did any sort of whiff of corruption or indictments, fall across his desk. And here we've got Mayor Walsh in his first term with two in his administration. So it makes you wonder sort of what sort of page of the Menino book should Walsh be taking now?
Well, that's precisely correct. I mean, I led the spotlight team for 8 years, and we took a look now and again at Tom Menino. And, you can say that the now late mayor was thin-skinned, and he certainly was that, and that he had his favorite developers, and he certainly did have his favorites. he wasn't perfect, but he was clean. I mean, by any standard, there was, as you, to use your phrase, there was not a whiff of corruption that you could find in that city hall. And for Walsh to be at this early point in, of his administration and to have, people led out of their homes in handcuffs and placed on paid administrative leave from their jobs at City Hall, that's just got to be gut-wrenching and disheartening and distracting. You know, this is a big city, and as you pointed out, there's, and I want to make clear that, that there's Mayor Walsh has done some good things. There's, this city is humming along on a lot of areas. The building boom is something like we've never seen in the city of Boston before. And I think there are people who like him and want him to succeed, and they just want him to help himself and as I say, start over.
Right. Well, Thomas Farragher is a columnist and associate editor for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're more than welcome.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.